Worried about letting someone else pick out the perfect avocado for your perfect impress them on the third date guacamole? Well, good thing Instacart shoppers are as picky as you are. They find ripe avocados like it's their guac on the line. They are milk expiration date detectives. They bag eggs like the 12 precious pieces of cargo they are. So let Instacart shoppers overthink your groceries so that you can overthink what you'll wear on that third date. Download the Instacart app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
Texans tried to make another trade, and apparently they were rejected. Bill O'Brien apparently working the phones with the Dallas Cowboys before they released Taco Charlton yesterday. The 2017 first-round pick, 4 sacks in 2 seasons, inactive the first 2 weeks, was released yesterday by the Cowboys. But according to Brian Broaddus of DallasCowboys.com, the Texans tried to swipe away Taco before then.
All right, I'm going to give you a little insight here, 20 people that are watching. The Houston Texans were the team that I'd heard some strong back and forth with. And the Cowboys had a player in mind that they wanted. Mm-hmm. And they were interested in moving Taco, and it was kind of a little bit back and forth there. And then the Texans said, no, we don't want to do that. So they got out of the deals.
I'm assuming that the Cowboys would have wanted a safety. That's my assumption with this. So with the Texans deep at safety, I'm assuming they would want a safety. That's actually what I was told when I reached out to some people that work in the building with the Dallas Cowboys. But Bill O'Brien being aggressive, trying to help the defense. We've seen him help the offense, but trying to help the defense and land a guy in Taco Charlton, who was a first-round pick in 2017, and a pretty big disappointment for the Dallas Cowboys. And now every team's going to have their crack at landing Taco Charlton through the waiver system.
Well, I think it's worst-case scenario for them. Didn't get anything out of the first-round pick, and clearly just didn't fit their system. And so now they're kind of just left with nothing. But I think Taco Charlton, people have mentioned him, with the Texans, et cetera. I don't know if that's the
He's
right.
He's not.
Yeah.
And I'll tell you why right now. And apparently, do you know who it came down to, who they were selecting between when they took Taco Charlton in 2017?
I do not.
T.J. Watt. They chose him over T.J. Watt. So
yeah, that wasn't a good pick.
That's probably one they'd like to have back. But I reached out to a guy in the building out there with the Cowboys, and this is what he told me about Taco Charlton. And you just tell me, John Lopez, if you think that this is a guy that would fit in to the Texans system and with Bill O'Brien. I asked him, can Taco Charlton play? This is the text that I got back. He needs a fresh start. He just wasn't tough enough for Rod Marinelli. Wasn't a bad guy, but just a different cat. Best he looked was this preseason. He practiced hard and play hard, but he's just not a very tough guy.
So, Jadeveon Clowney by reports.
Poor man's Jadeveon Clowney is what I took from that. So, based on that, we always hear Bill O'Brien say the three things he expects from the Texans: tough, dependable, whatever else it is. I don't think Taco Charlton would be a fit with the Houston Texans. I think he probably needs to go somewhere else where he can get away from
Heck,
the
he might end up
hard-ass
with the Seattle
coaching.
Seahawks, man. How about that? Yeah, well, he's got to go with a coach that can see what that personality. And I'm not even sure that report with Jadeveon Clowney, those reports, are even accurate. You know, that's just what has kind of been let out via the organization or whomever the sources are over there. So I don't even know if that's true. But if let's assume that it is true, and those types of players, really, really good, talented anyway, and just kind of a different cat, you know, as you said right there. There are coaches who can get the most out of those guys. Pete Carroll's one. I think Mike Tomlin might be one. And so-called players, coaches, I don't know if that's necessarily accurate, because I think someone like Bill Belichick, you know, he's never really been called a player's coach, but he could get the most out of him. I think it's just the right approach with those personalities. And he's going to play. And I think he's going to play this year, and he's going to be pretty good.
Landry Locker, John Lopez in the loop, talking about the Texans trying to trade for Taco Charlton before he was released by the Cowboys yesterday. Bill O'Brien, the way he's functioning as a GM, it really doesn't seem like a guy that thinks, and maybe I'm reading too much into this. I want you to tell me if you feel I'm getting the appropriate read on this. I don't know if he's functioning as someone who thinks that his job is safe.
I've been saying that. I've been saying that the whole time. I really more speculate. I'm not going to say that he's operating, you know, definitively as someone whose job is not may not be safe. All I'm saying is I've been posing the question. The haste with which he's making decisions is the same as a guy who could care less about 3 years from now. If everything that Bill O'Brien has done works, he's going to be here for five more years. You know, if they go 13-3 or even 10-6 and make a big run in the postseason, he's got nothing to worry about. But if they don't, I'm not so sure he doesn't have something to worry about. It's going to be entering year seven, so he's going to do everything he can right now to make this the best team that he can. I've believed that's a possibility for at least the last month, and I think it's still a possibility. Look at what he's doing. I mean, sacrificing two first-round draft picks, would any general manager, you know, have done that, sacrificed two first-rounders, which, by the way—
And a second. I think the second is the one that bothers me, because the two firsts, okay, you need a left tackle. You basically have that's the equivalent of having, like, the 25th pick and trading up into the top 10 and getting a left tackle. Mm-hmm. I can get that. The second-round pick, to me, is where it kind of makes me look at Bill O'Brien as a GM and say— You might have given up too much there, because the Dolphins were trying to give away Kenny Stills. He was already clashing with the coach.
They
he
were
going to
take
a
fifth rounder for him.
That's the report. The reports are the Miami Dolphins just were waiting to hear what B.O.B. said, and then he said second round, and they just said, all right.
All right. And we heard the story, I don't know
from Albert Breer,
if you guys have, about how he walked into
Laramie Tunsil.
Laramie Tunsil walked into the general manager's office and saw what the offer was on the whiteboard and said, heck, I'd trade me for that. The Texans overpaid. And back to the point, the Texans overpaid, and it'll be worth it in Bill O'Brien's eyes if they win and they make a run in the postseason. You know, they're making hasty decisions. They're not messing around. That's a general manager, head coach who's desperate.
What does win mean, though? Like, what is win? Like, because I'm always hearing, yeah, we won the game. Whenever defending, like trying to look past, you know, in victory, what you don't ignore in victory, what you wouldn't ignore in defeat or whatever
right,
it is.
Right.
What exactly is winning? Define winning for Bill O'Brien this year.
It's postseason. He's almost turning into a different version of Mike D'Antoni. You know,
I don't want to insult D'Antoni.
They're not having the regular.
D'Antoni.
Don't get me wrong. They're not having the regular season success that Mike D'Antoni has. But what's it all about with D'Antoni? It's about the postseason. I think that's exactly where he is right now as well.
But Mike D'Antoni, though, has been to Western Conference Finals.
No,
he's
I understand
had legit
that.
Bad
but
luck.
What is the big hitch with him?
If I felt about Bill O'Brien like I felt about Mike D'Antoni, even in his most controversial times, I would feel pretty damn good about the situation that we're in right now. I don't know that I don't know that he's even at that level yet. And I'm just looking at this offense, John, and I don't understand. It's 2 weeks in, but I'm worried that this is going to be a yuck it up offense with personnel that most coaches would kill for. That's what I'm worried about. Like, when you see the breakdowns and you watch all these shows and they're showing, like, the stuff that Kyle Shanahan's doing with the San Francisco 49ers with inferior personnel, and you're seeing the guys in motion, and you're seeing Sean McVay, who, by the way, made a run at the Super Bowl last year with CJ freaking Anderson, mm-hmm. who just got released this year. When you see all this type of stuff, the guy that used to eat at CC's, the running back, Figgy, when you see this stuff... No, he's fat. When you see this stuff and then you see what the Texans look like on Sunday, it can change at the snap of a finger each week, but it's just hard for me to imagine why this offense isn't looking like it did against New Orleans. Maybe I'm just anticipating the worst and talking myself into a disappointing performance on Sunday, mm-hmm. but it's hard for me to understand how this offense cannot carry this squad this year.
I think it's a possibility, but... I mean, we've had two games and two completely different results offensively. Well, results in general, but results offensively in terms of what you're talking about. I think this is a huge, huge game in terms of – obviously, we've talked about the wins and losses and how important it is. But showing what this offense – what's the real offense? You know, is the real offense what we saw in New Orleans?
Should be spread it out, let it go.
But is that what we saw in New Orleans, or is that what we saw this past weekend?
What we saw against Jacksonville was just what it looked a lot like 2018, a lot like 2018, mm-hmm. where you won 9 games in a row, but you just always felt like this team never had a high ceiling. And that's really not what I want to see. I want to talk about Deshaun Watson and Phillip Rivers, the quarterback matchup on Sunday out there in Los Angeles. If 15 years from now, we're talking about Deshaun Watson and an identical career to what Phillip Rivers is, would you look at that as a disappointment, or would you sign up for that right now?
It would be a failure. Not only a disappointment, I think it's a failure. You know, you've been talking about a guy who is going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. Phillip Rivers right now, his numbers stack up with name your greatest quarterback in history. All right, name them. Go back to Montana. Go back more recently to Breeze and Brady and Aaron Rodgers. When you look at career numbers, Phillip Rivers' numbers are right there with him. He's going to be a first ballot Hall of Famer. He's never won a Super Bowl. I posed this question before the show, and it's kind of scary to even mention, but because we've had these cautionary tales that we've talked about with Andrew Luck, that's why you have to protect Deshaun Watson. With Cam Newton, that's why you have to protect Deshaun Watson. So when he's looking across the field on Sunday, the last thing you want Deshaun Watson to do is see himself in 13 years, see himself in 14 years, to be that great quarterback that had great weapons. You know, where are the parallels? Phillip Rivers stepped in and immediately wowed the league. So did Deshaun Watson. They went 14-2. He had incredible weapons. He had Antonio Gates. Deshaun's got DeAndre Hopkins. He had a defense that was incredible. By the way, he had LaDainian Tomlinson too. He had a defense that could really get after the quarterback. So did Deshaun Watson. He's put up incredible numbers. So has Deshaun Watson. He's had postseason disappointments so far in a very small sample size. So has Deshaun Watson. So you talk about cautionary tales. I think the biggest one that we've seen so far is going to be across the field.
So how do you avoid that disappointment? How do you avoid that, what you describe as a failure?
It would be a failure because you brought him in.
No, how do you avoid it?
No, I understand that, but because you brought him in to finally get over the hump, and if he ends up having a career like Phillip Rivers, we'll be happy because he'll be in on his way to the Hall of Fame.
I won't.
But it'll be a failure because he never got to the Super Bowl in 13 years. So how do you avoid that? I mean, you avoid it by getting the right combination of protection, talent around him, and then the one failure for Phillip Rivers has been an incredibly bad break or two. I mean, they had the Patriots beat in, was it 07? They had the Patriots flat out beat. They had a turnover late. Patriots ended up winning. We know how that happens. So a combination of protection, luck in terms of making those plays, and I think the most important thing, the right coach that could take him over the top. Phillip Rivers, you know, has had a couple of lulls here and there, simply because the coach never got him over the hump.
The Texans are the almost team. Phillip Rivers is the almost quarterback.
Yeah,
I think it's very identical. You know, you see Phillip Rivers, and you can say, well, he's won some division titles, but he's come up short in playoff games. He did make an AFC Championship game, but if the Texans are the almost team, according to who? Bill O'Brien?
Bill O'Brien himself.
The Chargers quarterback Phillip Rivers is the almost quarterback. And I have higher expectations for Deshaun Watson than I do that. I could not look at Deshaun Watson 15 years from now having the same career as Phillip Rivers and say that that's okay.
Mm-hmm.
I could not. I do not want to sign up for that. And that's why, as we look at the progress and we look at the future of Deshaun Watson, that's why it would be a huge step in the right direction to win this game on Sunday against the Chargers. Landry Locker, John Lopez in the Loop, Sports Radio 610.
Let me add one more thing. You know, I say the right coach for him. Ironically, you want another comparison that's almost eerie? Norv Turner was Phillip Rivers' coach for 6 years. His sixth year, they went 7-9 and changed to Mike McCoy. Mike McCoy, 4 years. Now Anthony Lynn in his third year. They haven't had the coach to get them over the hump. And that's, I'm not saying, you know, fire Bill O'Brien. I'm saying, you know, how do you avoid that? Make sure that this relationship ends up being one that can get Deshaun Watson.
I mean, you got to evaluate everyone the same. I mean, I like the way a lot of guys are being evaluated. I like the evaluation of Aaron Colvin punting on him. You could even say that if you didn't think Jadeveon Clowney was worth paying like a franchise player and he didn't take the next step in how many years? 5 years? And you made that decision? Yeah. Then that's fine. But if that's going to happen and that's going to be the organizational output, it has to be with everybody, or else you're going to have one guy potentially holding you back. And that's why we got to keep our fingers crossed, and we got to hope that the Houston Texans get the job done this Sunday and take that next step. Landry Locker, John Lopez in the Loop, Sports Radio 610. Be extremely careful right now, seriously. This weather is getting worse and worse in front of our very eyes. So don't try to drive in areas where you shouldn't drive. As a matter of fact, if you're listening to us on the radio.com app right now and you're at home, just stay home unless you absolutely have to go, and be extra careful. Use all the resources you have, because this is getting extremely bad. And this is one of the scary parts about living in one of the best cities in the world. But hopefully everybody's safe. Be as safe as you can, because we know how tough this stuff can be. And man, it's just hard to it's hard to watch as we're sitting here, you know, doing the show. It's hard to watch just the situations that a lot of people are in, having to drive through these streets in Houston and on the outside areas.
The flooding is legitimately teetering on Harvey levels. So if you want some sort of warning, we know what Harvey did. Certainly in the north, northeast, and east on I-10. I-10 East is shut down in each direction. I-45 is shut down, I think, mostly. There are cars that we are seeing literally floating. So just stay there. Radio.com is your friend. We'll keep you informed as best we can if any major news that comes up or notifications. Just be safe, man. Be very, very safe.
Landry Locker, John Lopez in the Loop, along with Figgy Fig on Sports Radio 610. Coming up next, it's a huge day in Houston sports. We'll tell you everything going on and what you should be watching for next.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too, with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.